Bom dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 145. I generally drop about one episode a week, but obviously with the World Cup, and obviously this World Cup being played when it is, and pretty much with matches pretty much almost every 4 days involving Portugal, I decided to kind of break with that weekly tradition and do one here before the Ghana match. One, to kind of give you my thoughts on the Ghana match, and of course as well to, you know, a lot of you have been asking me my thoughts on the Ghana match, the probable lineup, things of that nature, so I kind of wanted to share that with you. So, and I will be coming on again before the Uruguay match next Monday. I'll be coming on before that match, and I'll also be doing a preview of Portugal, Uruguay. Obviously, Uruguay was the team in the last World Cup that eliminated us from the round of 16, so a little bit of revenge there. So I have plenty to talk about there. By the way, if all goes according to plan, my guest on that one, I'm working it out now on a scheduled time to record, will be Nino Torres from Gold TV. You probably know Nino, of course. He's based in Peru. And if there's anybody that I know knows South American soccer besides Portuguese football when he does the Gold TV broadcast, is, of course, Nino Torres. So I'm really excited to be having him on in my next episode. And let me also say, by the way, my previous episode, episode 144, a great interview with Cristiano Oliveira. I call him the original Cristiano. You can follow him at Twitter at 10CO10. We spoke for about an hour in my previous episode, episode 144. We talked about the Qatar World Cup and all the controversy surrounding it. We talked about the Cristiano Ronaldo situation. We talked about the Taça da Liga. He's not a big fan of the Taça da Liga going on during the World Cup break. I am. We talked about Antonio Silva. I have some concerns about having someone that young possibly having to play, although we're not going to see him start in the groups. But if anything goes wrong with Pep or Ruben Dias, he will probably be asked to step up. And I had some, not necessarily because, I mean, the kick could play, but as you'll see in the interview. And if you haven't listened to it, I encourage you to check it out. I did have some concerns about Antonio Silva, who I think is a fantastic talent, going to make a lot of money for Portugal. And then we talked about other things like Portuguese TV rights. What's it like to be a Portuguese fan here in North America? I don't think people outside of North America know how difficult that is, not just because of the time differences, but because when the matches are being played here. And, you know, I had a chance to talk to Chris. So the interview with Chris was probably about a good 70 minutes long, that portion of the episode. And let me tell you something, we could have spoke for hours because we just had so much that we wanted to talk to, but this is obviously not a podcast. It's not a Joe Rogan podcast that goes on for 3 hours. So I want to encourage you to listen. And if you're brand new to this podcast, here's how it works. My first part of the episode, I talk about what's going on in Portugal domestically with the Liga, particularly the Taça da Liga and other news. And what the second half of this episode, I'll be doing my Portugal-Ghana preview, as well as talk about some of the news, obviously, with Cristiano and Manchester United are no longer together. I've got a few things to say about that. So that'll be coming up. If you're listening here for the Ghana preview, that'll be coming up in the second half of this episode. But let me start off talking domestically, and that is the Taça da Liga has begun. Again, I think when you have a competition like this, it's good to be playing it now during the World Cup because you're going to have a lot of teams in Portugal, like I said in episode 144, that are going to be sitting around without playing any real matches. You know, some of the players are going to be going on vacation. Porto gave their players a week off. Benfica, according to reports after the Benfica Taça da Liga match this weekend, they're going to be giving their players 10 days off. And obviously this is because, you know, the World Cup is taking place in November. There's all this time. And I like the idea of competitive football. But some people, Roger Schmidt, Benfica's manager, came out and said, look, is this really a good competition if some of your players are away at the World Cup and they're not available to play in it? And I say yes simply because, first of all, Benfica has a lot of good players. And let's be honest with you, if you were to play this competition during the season, people always complain about it. Always, always, always complain about it anyway. So here you are now playing it. And granted, in the case of Benfica and in the case of like Sporting Porto, you're missing something like six players, sometimes even more. The reality of the matter is to have teams sit around for 5-6 weeks and do nothing but training and practice scrimmages, is that really a good idea? Or would you rather play some matches that are meaningful football, meaningful soccer? And I think that I think it's a good idea. Now, this hasn't started well in the Liga because as I'm recording this, there has been 16 Tasa de Liga matches already played, and five of them had attendances of less than 500 people. One of them, the Bisad Boavista match, which I believe was played in the Jamud, had a sum total of 161 fans at the match. So it's not necessarily generating a lot of interest with people going to buy tickets because, after all, you know, in Portugal, 10 o'clock in the morning, you have your first World Cup match, and that goes on throughout the rest of the day. So I think in a lot of ways, people are just kind of tired of the football, of so much football, and perhaps a lot of people aren't into this. But as we start to move along, and you start to get to the knockout stages, and less matches are going to be played, and then all of a sudden in these group matches with the Taça of the Liga, you know, you're going to have these matches that are going to start to mean something more because teams are going to try to qualify and finish first in the group because, remember, you have eight groups, four clubs each, and only the first place team advances. I think as you get to this tournament, you know, later on, I think you'll have, you know, a little bit more interest. But so far, it is definitely not attracting a lot of interest, and I think that, you know, that's kind of understandable. But again, would you rather have nothing and team just sitting around training? Or would you rather be playing meaningful football? Remember, Porto has never won this competition. Sergio Conceição has made it absolutely clear that he wants to get that out of the way and he wants to win. So that's something that Porto is playing for. Benfica haven't lost yet. You know, they won their first Taça de Liga match pretty easily against Estrela Amadora. They're playing for their undefeated streak. They're playing for the fact that they're just trying to keep their momentum alive. And the advantage they have to play is that even though some of their best players are at the World Cup, they've got a bunch of other players that are going to get action and are going to have the opportunity to play so that if anything happens in the second half of the season and these players have to be called upon, they're available. But having said that, yes, it has not captured a lot of imagination. Certainly in terms of people buying tickets, but at the end of the day, it is nevertheless football. And we also say that when we talk about the matches, the only match that has attracted more than 6,000 fans was the Benfica-Estrela Amadora match. And that match with Estrela Amadora took place in Leiria. So Leiria played and they only had 6,899, which is actually not bad for a match in Leiria, to be honest with you, and considering both of those teams are not anywhere near Leiria. It's actually not a very bad match. And by the way, that's the second time this season that Benfica has played in that Leiria stadium. Remember, match day two, Casapia used that stadium because the Jamor wasn't available and their stadium was under construction. At the time, Casapia used that match to play in Leiria as well. And, you know, in that match, I think they had well over 10,000. So, second time this year that Benfica has played in Leiria, with the other team being the actual home team, although rented home team, and obviously Benfica this time comes away. Last time they beat Casapia in a tough match, 1-0. This time they won, I think it was like something like 4-2-1. So that's what's been going on. There's a lot more matches to go on with the Taça de Liga. Porto's going to be playing on Friday. They'll be playing Mafra, who they just already played and defeated in the Taça de Portugal. Sporting doesn't get going with this competition until the 30th, so I'll have more to say about that as we get closer. But pretty much on, you know, in terms of, you know, matches coming up, you know, like I said, you've got, you know, one match Wednesday, one match Thursday, the day Portugal plays at night. You're going to have Tondela Turriense. So Portugal play earlier in the day, then at night you have this cup match. You'll have Porto playing on Friday. And then you'll have four matches on Saturday and four matches on Sunday. And again, you're competing with the World Cup that has four matches. But nevertheless, that's what's going on, and that's what's being played. Other news going on in Portugal at this time, before we get to the Ghana World Cup preview. There was a change of manager with second division Trofense. Their manager, his name was China. China, I think that's how to say it in Portuguese. They had lost seven matches in a row. And he was basically, him and the team parted ways. And Jorge Casquilla, who I remember very well, he used to coach my team in the districts, Atlético dos Arcos, about 7-8 years ago. He's been bouncing around now to all these different clubs. He's taken over as manager of that second division club. They're kind of languishing at the bottom. So that was the big news that they have made at this time of the year. And then as far as, you know, other news goes, Portuguese players in the news, João Félix has been linked to be leaving, to be able to get him some playing time in the second half of the season. We saw Cristiano Ronaldo. And let me talk about Cristiano now before we talk about, you know, in the second edition here, Portugal-Ghana. You know, Cristiano said the other day that he wanted people to be talking about the World Cup, and he didn't want people to be talking about him and asking questions about him. And this news that came out of the blue on Tuesday afternoon that Cristiano and Manchester United have part ways, they're going their separate ways, leave the money on the table, that's it, cutting their contract, came as a surprise to people because of the timing. And obviously there's been all this talk with Piers Morgan interview, although to be fair, that's kind of died down. And I think once Portugal starts to play on Thursday, I think you'll start to see more of the focus on that. But this kind of brought it back up, and Cristiano became the attention. And, you know, it's funny, Saudi Arabia beats Argentina, okay, big story. But then later on, I noticed in the press in many circles, the story became Cristiano and not so much Saudi Arabia. And the excitement, you know, their government gave fans the next day a public holiday because they were so happy they beat Argentina. I think it was like Argentina's first loss in like 3 years or something like that. So that was pretty interesting news. But Cristiano, you know, the only good news about it is Manchester United is done. They can wash their hands clean. The same day they announced Cristiano, Manchester United announcing that they're going to entertain offers to sell the club possibly. We'll see if that happens. But, you know, obviously whoever buys it is going to give the Glazers a lot of money. But the good news, I guess, with Cristiano, and this could work in Portugal's favor. Because number one, okay, Cristiano's playing for his next club. He's sort of auditioning. You wouldn't think of somebody who's, in my opinion, one of the best players of all time would have to audition, would have to prove you should take a chance on signing him. But you know what? If this motivates Cristiano more, because he wants to play Champions League football, he wants to continue to play at the high level, he doesn't want to go to play outside of Europe, he wants to continue to play at the highest level with that club at a high, high level. And now he's free to do that. And so that's a very, I think, a very, very big part of this. And I think that could motivate Cristiano. A motivated Cristiano to score goals and to be the Cristiano that we know, to possibly battle for the silver boot, you know, if they do that. I'm sure they do. I don't know if that's what they call it with the World Cup. I think they might have a different name probably, named after a sponsor. I think it could be a good thing for Portugal. On the other hand, if Cristiano's trying to get out of the limelight in terms of just wanting it to be on the World Cup, there's going to be stories every day, PSG. There's stories about, you know, Chelsea. Sporting continues to be in the news, and the way people continue to talk about it is kind of annoying because everything I'm hearing and everything that's been said so far is that he's not going to think about going back to Portugal again, based on everything as of today. But again, people continue to talk Sporting because that would be an opportunity for him to be playing, you know, for Sporting, or at least go back and play for a club, you know, like, you know, Sporting, even though, you know, they're not playing Champions League football. But it would be an opportunity for them to go back. And they've been talking about Cristiano. But I think Cristiano will have an opportunity to go to a big club in Europe, especially he scores 4 or 5 goals in this World Cup. How can you not take a chance on him, especially if you're a club? Newcastle has been mentioned. You know, we'll see. So the bad thing is, Cristiano thrusted himself back in the news, but it probably couldn't be controlled because he probably wants away from Man United. He got it. Man United wanted to move on without him. They got it, and it was announced, and it's over with. Everybody washes their hands to it. and they move on, and that's what happens. So that's very, very big news with Cristiano. And again, can this be used as motivation? And I'll tell you what, if it is and it works out for Portugal, then everyone's going to be very happy. But again, right now, unless some new information comes along, I fully expect him to continue to be in Europe for the next for the second half of the European season after the World Cup. Coming up next, part two of my Ghana-Portugal preview, coming up next. Part two of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast, and let's talk Portugal and World Cup. Before I do, just a quick FYI. Again, if you're listening to this for the first time, first off, I am putting the episodes now back on YouTube. So if you go to the PortugueseSoccer.com YouTube channel, I actually did the last one, my interview with Cristiano, and I didn't really advertise it or anything other than it being in the story link, and managed to somehow people noticed it and were listening to it as well. Also added it, you know, obviously Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcast, Podcast Addict. It's also now on Amazon Music. It's also on Bundle. It's also on iHeartRadio, which I know is a big podcast platform in the United States. So you've got those choices. In addition to YouTube, the YouTube obviously is just audio. There's not a lot of video to it. But again, that's an option because I know there's some people who like to listen to their stuff on YouTube. But let's get going talking about Portugal, Ghana on Thursday. And when this episode drops, it'll be the day before. And again, I'll be coming on later on this week to do the Portugal-Uruguay preview. And when I was doing some research for this, first off, the thing about Portugal, and that is that in Portugal's last five World Cup appearances, four of them, they haven't made it past the round of 16. And obviously the most recent one was when we were in Russia and we lost to Uruguay, who we're going to be playing in the group. The one year we did make it, we made it all the way to the final four, the semifinals. That was when the World Cup was in Germany, and unfortunately, we lost in the semifinals, just like we did in 1966. So, Portugal, by the way, in terms of winning 3 points outright or winning a match, we've only won something like three of our last 11 matches. I thought it was a very convincing win against Nigeria. You know, obviously, Cristiano didn't play, but I think for me, what scares me sometimes about Portugal is when Cristiano doesn't play and everybody else plays, I think we see a very good Portugal. We see a very good Portugal team. And we see what it would be like post-Ronaldo. But the thing that worries me is that Ronaldo should not be seen as an impediment, and he's still here. And we have to find a way to make sure that with him in the lineup, that it's not just him scoring all the time. Look at what he's done the last two or three years. Look what he did that year when we won the playoff against Sweden, and that's how we qualified for the World Cup in 2014. He saved our butts. For Portugal to be successful, starting with Ghana, it all starts with the fact that we have some of the best players in the world playing the best football. And look, we saw Saudi Arabia upset Argentina. So we know that in the World Cup, things like that could happen. But Argentina went into that match with Saudi Arabia having something like a 2 or 3 year streak of not losing a match. Portugal goes into this match with some of our frustrations, the fact that we had to qualify for the World Cup going through the playoffs, the fact that we could have qualified to go to the Nations League Final Four next summer, and we had the home game at Braga against Spain, and we didn't win. We have these frustrations. And we have these frustrations with Fernando Santos. And we have these frustrations with the fact we have such great talent with the Portuguese national team. We have such great players. And yet we still struggle. And the question is going into this World Cup, can we change this? Can we go in and finally act like the team we're supposed to be, where the team that's facing Portugal and sees Portugal coming at them, sees all these players that play in the Premier League, that play, you know, in France, that play in Serie A. And when are we going to get to that point when somebody that's on the other side of that team sees this talent and we play like we're supposed to and we make them nervous? And we just don't seem to make teams nervous because teams seem to get very motivated against us. So that's my number one concern I have about Portugal going into this Ghana match. And because, you know, all the players say the right things. We want to win. We're going to be prepared. We know we're playing a very good team. They say all the things that you say, that you hear of press conference after press conference after press conference. But what we want to hear is, are these guys finally going to put it together and play like the talent that they are, in terms of having all these players? You know, some of these players play for the biggest clubs in the world. And we need to see that productivity because we have the best players in the world. And I think right now we just don't have that. We're not getting that productivity. And beating Nigeria 4-0 is a nice result, but let's not get too excited because the result before that, we had Spain at home and we didn't win. And then the one before that, I think we drew 0-0, if I recall, in Ireland. So that's the biggest thing about Portugal is, will the Portugal team that we think is capable of going to show up? Or are they not going to show up? And again, Portugal does not have a great history compared to the Euro. Four of the last five World Cups, we've been knocked out of the round of 16. So we've made it out of the groups those five times, but we didn't make it out of the next group. And remember, we lost in the round of 16 in the last Euro. So, yeah, we won a Nations League. Yeah, we won, a Euro. But at some point, we have to ask ourselves, when are we going to finally put it together? And to me, I think for me, minimally, Portugal's got to make it to the Final Four. They got to make it to the semifinal. This is the team that has this talent. You know, the golden generation, Figo, João Pinto, Rui Costa, Paulo Sousa, Ricardo, Maniche, they made it to a Euro final when we hosted in Portugal, and they made it to a Final Four. Now, this generation, at least 9 or 10 players, they've won a Euro and they've won a Nations League, but we got to really step it up in the World Cup and do even better because we're capable of doing it. And look, Ghana's not going to be easy. They've won 7 matches in a row across all competitions. Clean sheets in those 7 matches, by the way. So defensively, and look, we've got the players that could solve that problem, could score against them. The question are we going to be scoring against them? They had a very good win last week against Switzerland, 2-0. Their manager, Otto Addo, he's part-time, by the way. He's actually a scout I read up with Borussia Dortmund. And, they've had some disappointments with their team. But this is a team that has players playing also in the big leagues in Europe. Ghana does not have a big domestic league. So a lot of these players that are coming out of Ghana to play in Europe, they're really good. They are really, really good. It's not like clubs in Ghana are making millions of dollars like the Portuguese clubs to sell players to play for the biggest clubs in Europe. These guys are working hard. They're coming from a different path that's a lot harder than playing for a Porto, Sporting, or Benfica. And they're succeeding in Europe. And that pedigree is very scary. That is very, very, very scary to think about. And again, they've got a lot of good players. I'm listening to a prediction here, but they've got, according to this, they've got Ziggy at goalkeeper, Lamptey, Amarty, Dusku, and Baba in the back, Partey, Abdul Samad, Solumana, Kadus, Ayu, and Williams is apparently the probable lineup that I've read. And by the way, I probably did an awful job with those names. So if you're from Ghana, I apologize. But I'm sorry. A lot of people don't even know how to say the Portuguese player's name in Portuguese either when they say it in English. So what am I exactly getting all nervous about? But this is a very good team. And what scares me is they've got pedigree. They have experience. They play for big clubs in Europe. They are not going to be scared of Portugal. If anything, I'm sure if they do their scouting, they know that Portugal hasn't been playing that great that year. They know Portugal had to qualify. They know Portugal had the chance to beat Spain at home. They did. And yeah, they beat Nigeria, but Nigeria's really on a down. So this is a very scary situation for Portugal. And we're going to be playing a team that, in my opinion, really makes me very nervous. They worry me more than South Korea. Okay. And I'm obviously Uruguay, in my opinion, is the biggest concern in this group because it's Uruguay. It's a country like Portugal, a small country that just produces a tremendous amount of talent. But nevertheless, Ghana just has a lot of motivation. They just got a lot of players that are motivated. And some of these players are playing to even get to even bigger clubs. Where a lot of the Portuguese players, except for Cristiano, who's apparently the only player at the World Cup that's without a club, you know, all these other players are tied up with these big clubs, so they know they're going to go back and play for a big club. A lot of these Ghana players have a chance, especially the ones that maybe aren't as known, got a chance to do some real, real damage. So, part-time manager, he's a scout at Dortmund. He knows how to scout. You're playing a team like Portugal. There's going to be a lot of motivation. I think it's going to be very, very dangerous. You look at Portugal's lineup, and this might change Wednesday night late when I put out my official, because, you know, obviously we want to see about training on Wednesday. But going into it, I think we're going to go with, of course, there's no doubt about it, Diego Costa as goalkeeper. You'll see João Cancelo on the right. You'll see Pep and Dias in the middle. Pep, by all reports, is good to go. And, you know, even if he wasn't 100%, they're not going to say that, but I think he's going to be good to go, Ruben Dias. Mensch came up the other day with some muscular pain. He continues to be doubtful for this match. He's a perfect player we need at that position because he's so fast, and Ghanaian players love to attack, and they're fast. But Mensch is doubtful, so right now I'm going to say Rafael Guerreiro. And look, Rafael Guerreiro plays for Dortmund, so chances are he's passed this guy in the hallways, this coach of Ghana, a few times. They might kind of know each other to a certain degree. And you know what? He probably knows Rafael Guerreiro so well. I just hope he doesn't know any of his weaknesses, but I think that's an interesting thing. Neves in the midfield. A lot of people predicting Carvalho. I know Carvalho is a big Santos guy, but I'm going to predict Vitinha. Again, that could change, but on this podcast, I'm going to say Vitinha. Going to say Bruno Fernandes, obviously, in the midfield. Bruno obviously did very well against Nigeria, but remember, that's Nigeria. They're not doing very well. And then you look up top, I think you'll see Bernardo Silva. You'll see Ronaldo, of course. There's no. I've had people, by the way, ask me about Ronaldo. Is he going to start? Of course he's going to start. Like, I mean, come on. Of course he's going to start. And then obviously you're going to see, in my opinion, you'll see Rafael Leong. I think he's going to get the nod to play. Players that I think could make a difference. I mean, I just have a good feeling about Ricardo Horta in this World Cup. You know, he scored that goal against Spain in the Nations League. Andre Silva is somebody that I think is good, but I don't know. I'm just not as high on him as I am on Ricardo Horta. I talked in the last episode. I'm glad to see Antonio Silva, but so young and all the pressure. Will he do well if he has to replace? I'm still worried about that, but I hope I'm wrong. But I think it's a legitimate concern. I don't think I'm the only one that has it. So it's going to be tough. And Thursday, by the way, is going to be interesting for a lot of us here in the States, not in Canada. It's Thanksgiving. I'll be actually watching the game. I'm going to actually go to my sister's house for the holiday. So I'm going to make sure I get out to her place early. But what's kind of scary for me is that there's me, there's my father. My mother has no interest in football or soccer. Neither does my sister. And then there's the other side of the family, especially my sister's side of the family, or husbands, that do not care about football. So me and my dad are going to probably be on one side of the house. And then you'll have all these people on the other side of the house watching the football game that gets going at 12 o'clock with the, I think it's Detroit Lions, that usually start off with that first game. And then it'll be me and my dad, which, by the way, wouldn't be a bad thing because I'm going to be nervous. I'm going to be jumping up and down. And I'd rather do that in front of my dad and not a bunch of strangers, or at least strangers to the sense of them watching me watch a soccer game. So I thought that was funny. But it should be a great day. Food, the World Cup, and let's just hope Portugal walks away with the 3 points. Let me end my podcast like I always do. For all those who are new, I always talk about my favorite team in Portugal. I get asked all the time, and that's a team from my parents' hometown of Arcos de Valdevez called Atlético dos Arcos. Atlético dos Arcos, again, another win last week, winning 4-2 at Uturiense. Nope, that's not the club from Torres Vedras. That's a club up north. And they continue undefeated with 10 wins, no losses, no draws, 32 goals scored, 14 surrendered with a plus 18 goal differential. But Limianos from Punta Lima, they continue to be on the heels in second place with 27 points. They only have one loss, and that was to Atlético dos Arcos earlier this season. This weekend, and look, the districts are still playing in Portugal. The fourth division, I believe, is still playing in Portugal. And this weekend, Atlético dos Arcos will be at home playing a team called Cardiolense. Again, I'm probably not pronouncing it right. Cardiolense is now currently seventh in the table. I always worry about the mid-table teams when we play them because that's where Aracruz has lost some points, and that tends to haunt them at the end of the season when they're forced to go into a playoff. But that match will be this Sunday, and that should be a good one. So, again, good luck to Aracruz, and, you know, we'll see what happens. So, anyway, folks, a shorter podcast simply because not a lot of time left before we go to Ghana. We'll be back again in the near future to talk about Portugal, Uruguay. And I tend to do podcasts once a week, but obviously because of the World Cup, I'm doing it now, you know, two, maybe even three times a week. We'll see, especially if Portugal's doing well. But thank you. The numbers were great, especially my last one. Again, episode 144. Check it out. If you want a preview before the World Cup, talking about a lot of subjects, check out the previous episode 144. It lasted about 90 minutes. This one's only going to go about 31, 32 minutes. So, folks, I'm going to wrap it up. Listen, if you're in the States, happy Thanksgiving. Anywhere else, take care of yourselves. Enjoy the game on Wednesday. I hope you find time. I hope you don't have to be working. Hope you find time to go to that special place you like to go to, whether it's at home, whether it's at a friend's house, whether it's at a pub, whether it's with your family, your girlfriend, whatever it may be. Wherever you go, go where it gives you the most best luck. Because I think, for me, I'm very superstitious. Wherever I go to have the best luck. A lot of times that's just, you know, I have a certain drink in my hands. I like to sit a certain way. And that's what I'm going to be doing because that's the best way I can help Portugal. But at the end of the day, we'll see what they do on the pitch. Anyway, folks, that wraps up episode 145. And I'll talk to you very shortly to talk Portugal, Uruguay. Ciao, everybody.